Jeremiah 9, verses 17 through verse 26, the end. Of course, it's in reference to God's judgment falling and all of that. Key verses would be 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come. Let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears, and our eyelids gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. For death has come up into our windows, and has entered into our palaces, to cut off the children from without, and the young men from the streets. Speak, thus saith the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness. For all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. Again, the key verses, verse 24 in particular. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, that exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. In these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what God wants. He wants to show his forgiveness, his grace, his loving kindness. It's a big word in Hebrew. It's a simple word, I said, but it's so vast in its meaning. One interesting phrase there, all that are in the utmost corners, actually refers to cutting the hair in honor of gods, the gods of this world. They could be identified by different hairstyles, like not unlike the American Indian. Different tribes, different ways of fashioning their hair had to do with demonic powers, and that's what was happening here, a witness to the false gods, the gods of this world. But him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Let's kneel before him in prayer.
Is glory in knowing God. I believe as we have this emphasis, and as Brother Ray was sharing about getting to know God, I believe this scripture here in Jeremiah leads us along this path. Thank you, Brother Ray and Brother George, for your parts in the service. I appreciate each one of your prayers. Feel rather weak this morning. And I do ask you to pray for my wife, Chris. She's not feeling well today and is at home, plus awaiting hip surgery. We would appreciate your prayers for her. Glory in knowing God. We know as we read the scripture in Ezekiel chapter 28, Lucifer gloried in himself. And we have all done that. If we want to be honest this morning, what do we glory in? What do you glory in? What do I glory in? I think we would all agree that the scripture points out that it is not safe and it is not wise to trust in ourselves to glory in our own understanding and our own wisdom. But then sometimes we say, well, we can trust and we can look to another man's wisdom. But that's contradiction, because we're going right back to counting on our own understanding to know what other man we can trust. And the Bible makes it very plain that it is not wise to trust in the arm of man. But I've heard that contradiction already, that we can clearly see in Scripture that we are not wise to trust in ourselves, but that we can look to other men. But that's a contradiction. That takes us right back to trusting our own understanding, that we know who we can trust. There is one that we can trust this morning, and that is God. If I am unclear about everything else, I hope we can take that home. That we can trust God. We can count on God. And because of that, we can glory in God. And through the Scriptures and through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through much seriousness, we can learn more about God and know God. So the title this morning, Glory in Knowing God. Jeremiah has been trying to admonish and correct God's people. He's trying to instill a holy fear of God in them, a holy fear of God and his judgments is Jeremiah's focus and his desire to share with the people. Jeremiah, as you well know, probably most of you have heard him referred to as the weeping prophet. This chapter starts out with Jeremiah weeping. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Jeremiah had a heart for God's people. And because he had a heart for God's people, he shed many a tear. I asked myself this morning, do I have a heart for God's people? Do I have a heart for people in general? Do you? Or is it all about self? I can promise you one thing. God is still working on me that I might crucify self. I don't know where you're at with that. God also says in verses 13 through 15 of this chapter, Jeremiah 9, 13 to 15, and the Lord saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. Then we come to verse 23, and Brother George, I did not share with him my text, but he hit it right on when he mentioned verses 23 and 24 being key to this passage. And this is basically what we want to examine this morning and glean from and hopefully grow from. In knowing God and glorying our God and glory in knowing God, verses 23 and 24. In verse 23, God and Jeremiah warned the people of trusting in their own resources. We know this is repeated over and over and over in society, hopefully not in the church, but people glory in their own wisdom, they glory in their own might. They glory in, you know, the weightlifter glories in how much he can lift. The wrestler glories in how many people he can pin. And on it goes. And people also make the mistake of glorying in their riches and trusting in their riches. Something that God can take away at the snap of your finger. And yet much trust is put in these things. Verse 23 are three areas that man should not glory in and trust in. Point being, man will utterly fail glorying and trusting apart from God. Jeremiah wants the people, and God wants us today, to see the folly of trusting and glorying in there and in our own strength and securities. Our securities, when we place them in things on this earth, are about as sure as the wind when you're trying to sneak up on a deer. And all of a sudden the wind turns and you feel it at your back. That's about how equal they are. And all of a sudden that which we trusted in is fleeing and gets away from us. Number one this morning, man's wisdom. In man's day of distress and judgment, man's wisdom will not deliver him. Some scriptures to this end. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see this combination in scripture over and over. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You read it over and over. They go together. And also the phrase, be not wise in thine own eyes. Rather than be wise in our own eyes, the right thing to do is to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Also, Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. We want to know God today. And we want to glory only in knowing God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Maybe you're capable of memorizing the New Testament, but knowledge of the holy is understanding. Psalm 118 and verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. So let's not make that mistake of recognizing and allowing the fact that we can't trust in ourselves, but we'll trust in someone else. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Notice in these verses of Scripture, man's wisdom and God's wisdom. Jeremiah 10 and 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in us. And the sooner we recognize that, the better off we will be. That we cannot successfully direct ourselves. Young people, older people, whatever age we are, it's not within us to direct ourselves. We need one much wiser than us. We need one much greater than us. And we need to look to him. Let's remember that in our lives, in our daily lives, in our daily decisions, and the daily steps we take, and the directions that we choose to go. It's not in ourselves to direct our own steps. You and I will do well when we learn that. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. God's word says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. In the New Testament, Luke 18, verse 9, and here we have this parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Verse 9, Jesus is speaking this parable. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Man will utterly fail, is the point here. Man will utterly fail trusting in his own wisdom. So that's number one this morning. Man's wisdom. Man is not wise. I am not wise. You are not wise when we trust in our own wisdom. Number two this morning. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. First of all, number one, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Number two, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And so number two here is glorying, trusting and glorying in man's might, in that physical strength that we have for a moment, and we know not what day it'll be gone. But we make the mistake of trusting in it. When wisdom a man fails, man will turn to this second one. When wisdom fails, then man will just try to muster up and fix the problems he's in, and correct all the wrong steps that he has taken, and straighten it all out with his own might, his power, and his own strength. Psalm chapter 33, 16 to 18. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. There that is again. Upon them that hope in his mercy. Let's not make the mistake, brothers and sisters, of trusting and glorying in our own might, in our own strength, in our own power. Goliath's might and strength failed him when facing David and God. He was huge compared to David. And he had all the armor. But he was helpless. And he was weak. And he was like a baby in front of God and David. And we are no different. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, a very well-known voice, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Number three this morning, glorying in riches. The third mistake. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And number three, let not the rich man glory in his riches. I'm going to turn to a familiar account. It's fairly familiar, I believe, in Luke chapter 12. We have here the account here of a man that was foolish because he trusted in his riches. I'm going to read this for us just to admonish us here from the Word of God. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You know, a lot of times we want to take credit for what the ground brings forth. Well, we did that. We did that with our wisdom. We did that with our might, with the sweat of our brow. I told my Amish friend one day at Loyola, those peaches are really, really beautiful. He said, I couldn't do that. That man said, God did that. And we do that back and forth, and and we just smile at each other, but we know we're speaking the truth, and we know we're reminding each other of the truth. But the ground of this man brought forth plentifully. And I believe he took credit for it because he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I don't even have room for all this that the ground hath brought forth. My labor My skill hath brought such a crop forth that I don't even have a place to put it all. What am I going to do? I need a place to bestow my fruits. And he said, I know what I'll do. And he resorts to his own wisdom, and he says, I'm going to pull down that barn. It's not big enough. I'll get that thing out of the way, and in its place I'm going to expand, and I'm going to build a bigger one. And then I'll have room for all this fruit, all these good crops that by my hand have come forth. And then I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You've worked hard. I've worked hard, and now I've got plenty laid up. It's time for me to change gears here, and I'm going to start to take it easy, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to eat and drink, and I'm going to be merry. But God had the final word. And don't think for a moment that God doesn't have the final word today in your life and in mine. Right when we think we have full control and we got things under our own hands, we were pretty wise after all. We got it all figured out and we've worked hard. Now it's time to party. But God. Those two words. But God said unto him, you're a fool. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? These things that you wouldn't even think of sharing with anyone else. These things that you were going to selfishly keep for yourself so that you could take your ease, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And so is he that glories in his riches. And so the admonition here from Jeremiah and from God is, let not the rich glory in his riches. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. And number three, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Man must be remembered, and you and I this morning must remember that God giveth, God blesses, and must receive glory, and God owns it all. And we must be good stewards of what he gives us. Some New Testament, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Man's wisdom, man's strength and might and man's riches will all prove useless, and the result will be feeling like Solomon, who said after having it all, he said, it is all vain, it is all empty, it is all useless. Verse 24, Jeremiah 9:24 tells us who to glory in. Glory in knowing God. Let him that glorieth glory in this. We were just very clearly told what not to glory in, and now we're told to glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you know God? Do I know God? Do I desire to know him better? Who to glory in? It's not hard to figure out. The Almighty, the one God of the universe, is who to glory in. To have some understanding and some knowledge of God is worthy of glory. To know the one true God of heaven through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is something to glory in. And yet we waste our time glorying in things that are going to pass away. God have mercy that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. Oh, to know God, oh, to know His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is worth more than all the world. It is true riches. It is true wisdom. It is true might and strength. To have understanding and knowledge of the God who created us and gives us the breath of life from day to day. Knowledge of God is available. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. Because that which may be known of God, see that? God can be known. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Glory in knowing God this morning. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, what did they become? Fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God hath given them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 28 of that chapter also. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. We need to know God. We need to have a heart for God. We need to want to know God better and better. You see where man ends up when he says, I don't want to know God. It's the beginning of destruction. A downward path. Many do not want to know God. Well, that's clearly seen in society. Many do not want to know God and turn to their own wisdom and their own strength and their own wealth. And this will all fail. Those who personally desire God and know Him through Jesus Christ will find God to be satisfying and sufficient for all of life's desires and needs. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God has it all. Don't we want to know Him better? He has it all. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in Him. That's referring to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Oh, that we might know Him. To know God is to understand Him as a God of loving kindness. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise, number one this morning, loving kindness. God's submissive, obedient children experience his loving kindness. And in this, they can glory. A proverb for us here. It's a very good one. Proverbs 17 and verse 7. Psalm 17, verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. We can't protect ourselves. It's vain to stay up late. It's vain to rise up early, the scripture tells us. And most of us probably lock our doors. I grew up with an unlocked house. Really, I mean, windows are open. I don't even know why we locked the door. Somebody could come right in the window. But show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them that put their trust in thee from those that rise up against thee. Our hope, our safety, our strength, our protection is in God, O that we might know him. Loving kindness. Marvelous loving kindness to them that put their trust in God. We have all those examples in the Old Testament. You know them well. People that trusted God. Daniel. He's going to keep on praying like normal. In the open. He didn't say to himself, well, now I'm going to do it in private. Or I'm not going to do it at all. He continued to pray three times a day with his window open because his trust was in God. And he did not fear man. That's our problem half the time. I guess I'm speaking to myself. Fearing man rather than fearing, having a reverential awe and trusting God. We're talking here about loving kindness. Daniel. He experienced the loving kindness. He experienced this protection. He experienced the fact that you can trust in God. Hungry lions, and they didn't touch him. That's our God. We have the same God that Daniel had, brothers and sisters. We do. We have the same God as the three Hebrew children that a fiery furnace could not slay, even though the ones that threw them in there were slain. Figure that out. Someone might say, well, the fire wasn't hot enough. Well, it sure was. Those that got close to the opening to throw them in were slain. They had a great God who showed loving kindness, who showed his power, and showed that they could trust him. How would you and I respond if we found ourselves in Joseph's shoes? He did the right thing. He fled from an immoral woman. She lies about him. And her husband believes her, and he goes to prison. What an example. For young people and for each one of us, the example of Joseph. But God showed himself strong in Joseph's life. But would God's strength and would God's glory have been revealed through Joseph if Joseph would have turned bitter? If Joseph wouldn't have trusted God even when he was sitting in prison for something he had not done, falsely accused? It all depended on Joseph's reaction. It all depended on Joseph's continuing to trust God through it all. Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. We find the loving kindness of God, and we find the scriptures telling us to trust. They go together. Thy loving kindness is excellent, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Let's put our trust in God this morning. He will take care of us. Even in death, he takes care of us. Even in trouble, he takes care of us. And he fulfills his purpose and receives glory. Glory in knowing God this morning. Psalm 63 and verse 3. Because thy loving kindness, listen to this, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Let's meditate on that one. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Let's praise our God this morning. Better than life. Wow. And this why glory. Psalm 92 and verse 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Every morning, every night, day in, day out. We can march forward in life trusting God. Glory in a God of loving kindness. Oh, that we would know God better and that we would know that he is a God of loving kindness. Number two, knowing and understanding God as a God of judgment. And that word judgment means justice. Knowing and understanding God as a God of justice. Glory in a God of justice, always judging rightly, never making a mistake. Perfect judgment. No worry about a biased jury, or no worry about a biased judge with God. And no worry about them not knowing all the facts, because God knows them all. And nothing is hidden from him. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 25, that before from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that before from thee. Shall not the judge of the all the earth do right? Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Say ye to the righteous that it should be well with him. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And then verses 10 through 22 in that chapter. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime. As thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Hear ye that are far off what I have done. And ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see a tabernacle, shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto us as a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. He will save us. Knowing and understanding God as a God of justice. Number three, knowing and understanding God as a God of righteousness. Righteousness is referring to what is right in the sight of God. What is right in the sight of the Lord? It's connected to judgment. For example, you read in the scripture, righteous judgment, Psalm 67:4. The righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to believers this morning. Glory in this, where I have no righteousness, and it is what I have is like filthy rags. God offers to me the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Glory in that. Glory in the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness, his purity, his holiness, his perfectness. Oh, glory in the Lord. Jeremiah. Another chapter in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 6. Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Glory in the Lord God, a God of righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch, capital B, the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment, justice, and righteousness in the land. This is our God that we want to know and that we want to glory in. In the New Testament, the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 5. In verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one holy one, one pure one, the free gift came upon all men on the justification. Hallelujah. We can know a God of righteousness, and we can know him through his Son, God the Son. And he offers that righteousness to each one of us. Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Beautiful words of life. Beautiful words of truth in Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him, and we know who the him is. The him is the Lord Jesus Christ. For he hath made him to be sin for us, sin for sinful me, He who knew no sin, that we, like that you and I, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Knowing a God and understanding a God of righteousness. I want to conclude with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 to 31. 1 Corinthians 1, 25 to 31. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God bless you.
Please stand for closing prayer.